who pushed between George and Dorn and laid both his hands on George's chest. "Leave him alone," Theo snapped. "He saved my life." George snorted like a dragon. Fire blazed from his eyes. He grabbed Theo by the front of his coveralls, lifted him off his feet with one hand, and tossed him onto the desktop with a painful thud. "Stop!" Victor shouted, going to his son. "You'll be just as bad as he was." Dorn remained as unmoved as a rock. George wrapped his big hands around the cyborg's neck. "You bastard!" he shouted. "You bloody bastard!" Alberta pushed herself up from her chair and slapped at George's beefy arm. "Don't you dare," she snapped. "You leave him alone." Big George blinked at her, his expression suddenly changing into a naughty little boy's, confronted with an angry schoolteacher. His arms dropped to his sides. Alberta waved a finger in George's face. "He's tried to atone for what he did. He's a changed man. Don't you dare hurt him." "Give him a fair trial, at least," Theo said, getting off the desk, rubbing his bruised hip. Dorn was still standing perfectly motionless, unmoved, like a statue, like a man awaiting execution. George took a step back, sagged onto the edge of his desk. "Dory Cabin," he muttered, his chest heaving. "Go ahead and kill me," Dorn said. "I deserve it."
"That'd be just as bad as he was," Theo repeated.
"We'll have a fucking trial, all right," George said darkly.
Going back to his chair and thumping heavily into it, he called to his desktop communicator.
"Security, send a squad to my office to take a prisoner into custody."
Only then did anyone notice that Alverda had sunk back into her chair, her face gray, gasping for breath.
Alverda opened her eyes. She saw that she was in a hospital cubicle. The lights were turned down low. The compartment smelled clean, brand new, as if it had just been opened for her. A faint beeping sound made her turn her head toward the bank of monitoring sensors lining the wall to her left. "I must have fainted," she realized. The pain was less now, almost gone. But she could still feel it throbbing deep inside her, like a lurking demon. She tried to sit up, and the bed automatically lifted behind her. She saw a shadowy figure in the compartment's only chair. "Dorn?" she whispered. The cyborg stirred out of sleep. His human eye opened. The other one glowed red in the dimly lit chamber. "How do you feel?" he asked. Alberta considered the question for a moment. "Not bad," she said, then added with a sardonic smile, "considering the condition I'm in."
"You haven't lost your sense of humor."
Dorn reached for a remote control wand on the bedside table, and the lights came up a little. The sullen pain in her chest notched up a bit, and the sensor's beeping quickened.
"The doctors say you need to go to Cellini for a full rebuilding of your heart," Dorn told her.
"I'd never survive the trip," Alberta said to herself. Aloud, though, she asked Dorn, "I thought you were under arrest." He nodded.
"There are two armed guards outside your door. I go on trial tomorrow."
"Tomorrow?" Alberta felt a pang of alarm. The monitors beside her bed changed their tone slightly. "How long have I been unconscious?"
"Not quite 36 hours. The rock rats move swiftly. George Ambrose wants the trial held right away."
"I'll speak for your defense."
"No need. I don't want a defense. They have every right to execute me."
"No,"
she snapped, and the monitor's beeping pitched still higher.
"They may have a right to execute Doric Harbin, but he's already dead." Dorn almost smiled.
"Not dead enough," he muttered.
The trial. It took less than 48 hours for Big George to arrange for the trial of Doric Harbin. Dorn stood alone in a darkened video studio bathed in a pool of light. In the shadows, armed security guards ringed the cyborg, while communications technicians operated a trio of video cameras, all focused on Dorn. The technicians' monitors showed that every citizen of Chrysalis II could watch the trial by television from their quarters. The etched metal of the prosthetic half of his face glinted in the pitiless glare of the overhead lights. From his office, Big George read the charge against Doric Harbin, 1,117 counts of murder.
"Do you admit that you deliberately killed the inhabitants of the original Chrysalis?"
George's disembodied voice rumbled in the TV studio like an approaching thunderstorm, seething with barely repressed fury.
"I do," said Dorn.
"What do you have to say in your defense?"
"Nothing."
"Nothing? Nothing at all?"
"Nothing," Dorn repeated.
Suddenly there was a hubbub in the darkness beyond the pool of light in which Dorn stood. A door swung open, and Elverda Apicheta rolled herself to his side, sitting in a powered wheelchair.
"I have something to say in the defense of this man," she announced.
Dorn saw that her pallor was still sickly gray. An oxygen tube was hooked to her nostrils. Her eyes were rimmed with red. Before Dorn could stop her, Elverda struggled to her feet and said,
"This is not the same man who attacked your habitat. Doric Harbin has been dead for many years now. This man, Dorn, has spent those years atoning for the sins of Doric Harbin."
"That doesn't matter," Big George's voice spat. "The only question here is whether or not he murdered the people of Chrysalis. He admits that he did it. It's time to vote on the verdict."
Dorn and Elverda saw a screen light up on the wall before them. Numbers flickered, too fast to follow. Finally, the numbers stopped. Big George's voice announced,
"It's almost unanimous. The verdict is guilty."
"No,"
Elverda gasped. Dorn rested his human hand on her frail shoulder.
"Now for the penalty,"
George went on, sounding as implacable as an avalanche.
"We've never executed anybody before, but if ever a man deserved the death sentence, this is the one. How do you vote?"
"Wait,"
Elverda shouted. Dorn could feel her trembling beneath his hand.
"You don't need to kill him. You can exile him. You've done that before. Permanent exile for criminals. Exile this man if you want to, but don't kill him."
"What he's done deserves more than exile," Big George's voice boomed. "He should never have the chance to hurt anybody again. Death."
"He'll never return here,"
Elverda promised, shuddering, almost breathless.
"Exile him. Don't stain your hands with his blood."
For long moments, there was no reply, only profound silence. At last, his voice a low growl, George responded.
"All right, then. We'll vote on it. Execution or exile?"
Dorn slid his arm around Elverda's bone-thin shoulders to support her as the electronic vote was swiftly tabulated on the wall screen. She slumped against him, her strength almost gone. Once the numbers stopped scrolling across the screen, they read 67% in favor of exile, 31% for execution, 2% abstaining. At last, the voice of Big George Ambrose came through the speakers, like a pronouncement from the heavens.
"The vote's been verified. Doric Harbin is hereby exiled from Chrysalis II for life."
George sounded very disappointed. The studio lights winked out. Elverda sagged against Dorn, her head lolling back on her shoulders. He grasped her in both his arms.
"Medic!" Dorn shouted, suddenly frantic. "She's collapsed!"
A higher law. The funeral service was brief and attended only by Dorn and the Zacharias family.